Well, here on a Big Show Friday, Joe Smith and Mike Glascott joining you as always. Big night tonight, high school football week number one. Mitchell and Edgewood, 6:30. Chalk Talk for Scott Fisher's first game in charge, 7 p.m. Don't forget you can listen live on WGCL or WGCLradio.com. And I know, Smitty, you're ready for tonight.
Yeah, here we go.
And we're ready for this this afternoon as well. Joining us is the Vice President and Intercollegiate Director of Athletics, our great friend Scott Dolson checks in on a Friday. Scott, how are you today?
I'm doing great. It's been a great week. You know, move-in week is always exciting. Of course, our student athletes, a majority of them have been here all summer, but you still feel a difference this week, a different energy, and just it's been a really good week. It's been a good summer.
And it's been a busy summer, believe it or not. You've had, well, new friends added to your conference, Washington and Oregon. Maybe we'll get to that a little bit later in our conversation, since they won't be here for a while. We're trying to figure out how to incorporate UCLA and USC for next year. Those are bigger picture items, but a bigger picture item right here on campus that you made us aware of. You are going to do a survey here in the near future to try to reimagine Memorial Stadium. Well, Memorial Stadium's been around, what, since the late 1950s. Where did this idea come from, Scott? And what do you hope to accomplish getting the feedback from your stakeholders?
Well, you know, it was a big week for us getting that out, and kind of, as we call it, the first step of really modernizing the stadium, having a vision for the stadium. You know, I give Fred Glass so much credit because, you know, when Fred was here, we were able to get the north end completed and then followed up by the south end, which really were just huge steps for the stadium. But now the next thing for us, and particularly as the Big Ten continues to grow and football being so strong in the Big Ten, we have to really be proactive and really think about what's next to make certain our stadium can handle the crowds that we want to bring in. And fan experience is really the number one goal of this next modernization, as we call it. And the survey is just our way, as this first step, to really get a feel from a fan's perspective what's important to them. You know, as we evaluate what the master plan of the stadium should look like, we need to get that feedback in terms of what's important from a concourse standpoint, from a restroom, from a concession stand. How do we modernize all that? Premium seating. You know, it'll give us that real feedback, that data, so that as we sit down and really analyze what's next for the stadium so that we can have the best fan experience possible, you know, are club seats important? Are they not? How many do we need? What's an ideal number? Those are things that we just don't want to guess. We want to really hear from our fans and understand what's important. And hopefully at the end, whether it's our students, whether it's our longtime season ticket holders, or maybe one-off attendees who come in just for a certain game, what's important to them so that we can try to put together a plan that accommodates as many of our fans as possible.
And, Scott, you've sent out a survey, and you've asked that they fill it out to take 10 to 15 minutes, and it's so vital. Mm-hmm. Well, it's really critical because, you know, the stadium's been out there for nearly 65 years, 63, I think. But, you know, you look at what needs to be done, and this is no pipe dream anymore. I know this has been a vision of yours, not only coming up through the ranks, but now as Vice President and Director of Athletics, and really the final touch to a stadium that is adequate, but it still needs some modernization.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it, Joe. We just need to make certain the infrastructure can handle and support a modern fan experience. And it's much like if you do look at the Simon Scott Assembly Hall project, it was very, in my view, this is very similar to that. You know, there was a vision for Assembly Hall, which became Simon Scott Assembly Hall, in terms of how can we improve the fan experience, but at the same time, keep the same feel of that facility. And I think, again, Fred was great in leading that project. Now from a Memorial Stadium standpoint, and particularly because we do have the north and south ends, mm-hmm. it's kind of a great way to look at what it can start to look like when it's modernized. What do we need to do on the east and west side, the press box? And again, the concession stands, we've tried to adapt as best we can to kind of limp along where we are now, but the concession stands are the same size setup as they were when the stadium opened, as Glass said, in the late 50s, early 60s. And as you know from going to different stadiums around the country, times change. Nutrition's different. What the importance of what that fan experience, what fans want, we have to adapt. And for me and for us in the administration, if we're not proactive, if we're not looking ahead, I think, you know, it's really malpractice. We have to, and particularly, I think it really makes us double down when you look at how the Big Ten is growing. You know, the four universities we're adding are obviously great universities all across the board, academically and athletically. But from a football standpoint, you know, they're all really, really strong. And we have to be proactive to make certain that we have a vision for the future of Indiana football.
Scott Dolson, Director of Athletics, Intercollegiate Athletics, and the Vice President for Indiana University, joins us today. There have been, you're not going to change the quote-unquote floor plan of Memorial Stadium because the site angles are so good, correct? I don't want people to worry about, you know, we're going to knock it down and start over. That's not what you're trying to do here.
No. It's really a renovation. And in terms of what that scope is, you know, there's really parallel tracks happening at the same time. It's getting the feedback from the fans and all our stakeholders, really putting together a vision for what it should look like given the existing structure. And then at the same time, from a feasibility standpoint, really looking at how financially what is feasible in terms of a fundraising project. How much do we need? How much can we raise? Based on then the project that, so you want to develop the project, but at the same time you're looking at from a financial standpoint, what's feasible. So we're just down that path, and we're excited about it. And like I said, it's just really important that we have a vision for football. It's just like we said when we were modernizing the weight room downstairs and creating a football only weight room. You know, we've looked at Mellencamp. What's the future of the Mellencamp Pavilion indoor facility, and how are we going to enhance that over time? So we're just continue to look to stay on a track that we have a vision and we're proactive.
I know you want to think this through and have as many, obviously, responses as possible. Timetable-wise, have you put a stamp on it, or is it open-ended? What are we talking here?
Yeah, it's really open-ended. You know, it's kind of one of those situations, Joe, we want to go as fast as we can, but at the same time, it's really a master plan. You know, we haven't really decided exactly what it's all going to encompass. Is it a one-phase project? Is it a multi-phase project? We just have to wait and see how things come together on both those tracks from a fundraising perspective and from a vision for what, you know, what should the stadium look like? If it goes well, 10 years from now, 5 years from now, what should the stadium look like, and what should the changes, what changes need to be made? And Glass brought up a great point. From a viewing standpoint, as you travel around the Big Ten, you know, we're very fortunate. There's really not a bad seat in the house. And so we've got great angles. We've got a great setup. How do we enhance that? You know, we look at everything from the press box to the restrooms to across the board. What do we need to do to modernize it so that it's sustainable for the next 20, 30, 40 years?
And the people in the survey will give their opinions. These opinions will be sorted out on a whiteboard at some point. Some will be erased. Some will be used. But how important was the new TV deal in kickstarting this, Scott? We know that the Big Ten and members of the conference starting this new TV contract, I know you're going to need some private donation to help this. But altogether, sure, that had to be kind of the springboard, because I know COVID didn't help speed up any of this process.
Yeah, I'd say all of that is a factor. There's no question about it. But for me, if you said what's the real springboard? And to me, the real springboard is that when we have a full stadium, which we strive for every game, the infrastructure of the stadium, as I walk around the concourses and our staff does, and we observe the restroom lines, the concessions lines, as people are coming in, entering the stadium, we feel like we need we just need to improve that, because you don't want the experience to be curtailed or go backwards the more people are here, because obviously that's what we want. We want full stadiums. So by looking at that and really studying that, we need to really improve on that. When the stadium was built, it just didn't contemplate, it couldn't have at that point, what the fan experience would need to be here, you know, this many years later, you know, almost, what, 70 years later, what does the fan experience need to look like? And so that's really one of the biggest things, was just really when the stadium is full, we want the experience to be very, very positive. But then when you add on top of that the conference expansion, the TV deals, all of the kind of advances of Big Ten football. I mean, Big Ten football is strong. I mean, it's no joke. And we want to be able to compete. And a lot of times you just think from that standpoint is it's obviously the team, the record, and all the things we do to make certain it's a quality program. But at the same time, we have to make certain from a fan experience standpoint we're doing our part as well.
How important is it to have the room you have on the footprint of Memorial Stadium? Because you can go up, you can go wider, because you're not – the stadium is not stuck in a metropolitan area or a campus area, maybe like Jordan-Hare down at Auburn or Columbus. You do have room to operate there, don't you?
Yeah, we are very, very fortunate just all across the board, just in the whole athletic campus. And I could take zero credit for this because somebody – and it probably starts with Herman Wells – and however they just decided at some point to have the northern end of campus be the athletic district. And moving forward from that, just when you look at, you know, when Mellencamp was built and when we did the west side, where originally it was when Bill Mallory was here, it was the football complex. And then we built the north end and then made the football complex the academic center. And then all the things we've done, we've been able to do around the athletic campus, and it really is unique when we bring in recruits that everything is really located together here, and there's a great freedom of movement for our student athletes. And so we're very, very fortunate. Parking here, although we've lost some parking as we've built more facilities, we still have an unbelievable parking situation for fans compared to a lot of schools. You know, a lot of schools, you have to walk really far to get to the stadium. So we have huge advantages here, and I think from a fan experience standpoint, we're not starting over. We're not building from kind of scratch. We really have a great setup. How can we enhance it and keep using that word? How can we modernize it so that this day and age, the students of today have a tremendous experience when they come to the stadium, just like all of our other fans?
And one other part, just so people don't get worried, because that's what people do, they worry. You're trying to get this all accomplished in non-football season. Indiana's not going to move any home games anywhere if any of this construction, whenever it will happen down there. That's not in your vision, is it?
No. We want to make certain, just like when we did the Simon Scott Assembly Hall project, we want to make certain we would work around the seasons and make certain that we can, whether it's phased in. And, you know, we have great partnerships on campus. You know, we're a part of obviously something bigger than ourselves. And from President Witten to Vice President Tom Morrison, who oversees capital projects for the university, we'll work together at some point when the project moves along. Again, we're in the early phases, but when we move along, we understand the scope. We would certainly work around to make certain that we don't have to vacate the stadium and not have a home schedule for a year. We'll make certain that we phase it in just like we did with Simon Scott Assembly Hall.
Well, T-minus 15 and counting till the Buckeyes come in on the 2nd of September. A Vice President Director of Athletics, Scott Dolson, joining us on a big show Friday, mentioning moving and what have you, still tenuous, although you could possibly update us, Scott, if you can, on the Louisville situation. You know, the football team visited at Lucas Oil Stadium earlier today for a practice. The Hoosiers and the Cardinals play on the 16th, and then the return trip to Louisville. How about that third game? And especially, we know now adding Washington and Oregon to the Big Ten in 24, you know, it's what, big, I'm losing count, that'll be what, 16. They're going to have to modify the schedule again. What about the non-conference game with Louisville in possibly 25? What are you hearing from down around the river down there in Louisville?
Yeah, we continue to evaluate, and we really started this a while back, but then we added USC and UCLA, and then subsequently Oregon and Washington. We really have been constantly evaluating our non-conference schedule. As you know, the Big Ten, a number of years ago, went from 8 conference games to 9, and it just made those 3 non-conference games that much more important. And from a strength of schedule standpoint, we need to make certain that we're scheduling from a real strategic standpoint. And that is at times challenging because at the same time, we want to schedule games that are attractive for fans.
Mm-hmm.
But from our perspective, and you see this around really the whole conference as we've shifted by adding these schools, you need to be really smart. And you look at Michigan's schedule, and Michigan obviously was a phenomenal program. It always is, but had a phenomenal team last year. Well, they're really scheduling really smart. They really think about it. And from our perspective, if you've got schools or maybe traditional powerhouses are really being creative on how they schedule a non-conference, it's shame on us if we don't analyze that as well. And just by virtue of playing the Big Ten, our strength of schedule is so difficult. In fact, I think this season I've read a couple different places that our schedule playing the East Division and with our non-conference schedule, we have the number one strength of schedule in the Big Ten. And you have to take a step back and say, was that really smart? You know, should we have the toughest schedule in the Big Ten as we try to build the program and our players and our coaches are working diligently to try to get to that level we all want? And in my role, I think I need to make certain we continue to evaluate that. Playing Louisville at the time probably was a great idea. A lot's changed since then. And so we're evaluating. We are not going to have the 25 game and are working on replacing that. We're evaluating really all our non-conference schedule. And so I'd say you continue to see changes as we think are really from a strategic standpoint in the best interest of the program. Additionally, with the conference schedule, from a fan standpoint, in a way, it's irregardless of who you play in the non-conference, we're going to have a great home schedule every year. When you now start bringing in Oregon, can you imagine that first game we bring USC in here? It's going to be, from a fan perspective, how awesome that's going to be. So I hope that helps explain it, but
yeah,
it is tough because at times when you do shift your non-conference schedule, I get it. I'm a fan. You can say, well, why, you know, what, play the big boys. Let's play a tough, tough schedule. Well, we're not afraid to play anybody, but we want to be strategic in how we're scheduling.
You're already required to play people. You don't need to add any gasoline, perhaps, to the fire. Well, that's the other part, Scott, and we talk about college football and revenue and expanded playoffs and everything else. Will the bowl system be around in 5 or 10 years where that really is going to matter? Because I would think, and I'm reading between your lines here, to be bowl eligible, to have that 13th game, to take alumni and donors and fans somewhere nice when it's cold outside in December or January, that's got to be part of the strategic thinking.
Absolutely. There's no question. And I know you guys know this, but Bill Mallory was so instrumental for me as a young staff member here, and I just am forever grateful for all the time he took to talk to me about building a football program. And, you know, getting to that bowl every year, getting to postseason is so important for the development of a program. And so, again, as we evaluate our scheduling, you know, I've kind of thought before, I've never said this out loud, but it's funny to me, if you look back to when Coach Mallory was the coach and the schedule we had, and even Cam Cameron, you know, Cam Cameron might still be our coach if we had scheduled maybe differently our non-conference schedule. Because we played tough, you know, the Kentucky games and those tough non-conference games. That was a different day. But I think from a strategic standpoint, as you want to build consistency in your program, you have to have a vision for what the right way to schedule is, particularly in the Big Ten Conference and particularly as the conference has absolutely gotten stronger and stronger.
6 bowls in 9 years for Coach Mal, and he laid the foundation. You know, when Indiana in 86 broke that bowl and went to the All-American Bowl in 86, and that started the run there, and it certainly was, you know, it got the Mallory era rolling, and Bill, of course, the winningest coach in IU football history. Yeah, no question about it. I just, you know, I'm sitting here thinking USC, UCLA, Washington, I never, ever in my career could – you know, foresee this coming. I'm just kind of bewildered by it all. But I'll take it as it comes. One day, you know, Smitty. One day at a time.
Joe, if you got past
one day at a time.
If you got past Maryland and Rutgers, anything else should not be surprising at all at this point. 18 teams, perhaps down the road.
All right, 18.
And that's we got to take your shoes off to count to that high.
I tell you, I'll say this, you know, our new commissioner, Tony Petitti, who is now, you know, he came in at a really hectic time. He is really doing great things. He's really, really good. And I'm really feeling confident in the future of the Big Ten, you know, just based on his leadership and where we're going. And again, like Joe said, you know, who would have envisioned back in the 1980s, let's say, that someday we'd have 18 in the conference and four of the most powerful West Coast brands. But at the same time, things just evolve, and we have to have a vision. If you're not innovative and you're not thinking ahead, you're going to get passed by. And so I think whether it's here at IU and what we're trying to do with our football program, with our athletic program, or as a conference, it's just always important to have the vision for what's next. And that's really, really important for us to really thrive and continue to balance making certain we're doing what's best for our student athletes and maximizing their opportunities they have here.
Scott, before we let you go, let's wrap up the big story of the day as well. We learned earlier this morning that Mike Woodson is getting a bonus in his contract structure. Tell us all about it, and talking about stability and growing programs. Yeah. I know you're pleased with what Coach Woodson has done in his early days returning to Indiana University.
Yeah, Coach Woody's just been terrific in multiple ways. You know, the ways that fans all see, just in terms of you can feel the momentum, whether it's from a recruiting standpoint, whether it's what he's doing to develop our players, and obviously the success. It all comes down to, you know, you can kind of see it on a weekly basis. But there's also things behind the scenes that Woody has done, just really bringing the department together, unifying former players. There's just so many great things. And what I like, I said this to him the other day, what I like about Woody, it's kind of what sort of I try to do. You want to under-promise and over-deliver. And I'd say that's what Woody has done. He's really just done, he's exceeded really my expectations, our expectations so far. And so what we try to do, in fact, we had a busy offseason because we had a lot of success in a lot of our programs last year, is continue to evaluate the marketplace. The markets have shifted, you know, significantly. And so we want to make certain that we reward Coach Woodson, not just for the job he's doing now, but obviously just sustaining for the future. And couldn't be more pleased with what he's doing, and wanted to make certain that we're competitive in the marketplace, and just like we are with other sports, and really excited to make that announcement today.
No question about that, and well-earned for Coach Mike. And in a future show here, as we get closer to kickoff with Ohio State, I know the weekend of the Akron game will be big. We'll talk later about the 40th class coming in, the IU Athletics Hall of Fame, and we all know the familiar names, including mentioning basketball, Big Mac. He wasn't on campus long, but everyone knows the name of George McGinnis, just one of six, and our good friend, the best cardiologist in the world, Larry Rink. Scott, just two of six that will be inducted into the Hall of Fame, another high-quality class. And we'll touch on a few other objects with you as we get a little closer. With all of our sports teams entering the fall and moving through, and we wish you the very best with the modernization survey and what have you of Memorial Stadium. Certainly appreciate you taking time out with Glass and me and sharing some thoughts and comments on Indiana University Athletics, my friend.
Well, can't thank you both enough for your friendship. Thanks for having me on. And really excited about this year. And anytime you need anything from our end or my end, you just let us know. And again, appreciate what you guys do to help support us in multiple ways. So go IU, and let's keep in touch. Let's get ready to kick this off here in a couple weeks.